You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Legislation implemented in 2018 and 2020 has purported to make cannabis legal and accessible for those who use it for medicinal or therapeutic reasons. However, the reality is that it still remains out of reach for many. People suffering from chronic pain and illnesses first have to get over the hurdle of finding a GP who's willing to prescribe them cannabis, only then to be faced by the hurdle of the price. I spoke to Fiona Hutton, Associate Professor at the Institute of Criminology at Victoria University, and started by asking what kind of relief chronic pain sufferers get from using medicinal cannabis.
People use cannabis therapeutically for a whole range of sort of reasons and conditions, if you like. So the main reason why people used medicinal cannabis or cannabis therapeutically in our study so far was for pain management. So closely followed by difficulty sleeping, then mental health issues such as anxiety, then a specific medical condition like epilepsy or multiple sclerosis. And often pain management and difficulty sleeping go together, because if you're suffering from chronic pain, you can't sleep because of the pain. So that's often why those two score the highest. So people used it for different kinds of pain. You know, some people had pain after sort of surgery, some people had long-term sort of chronic pain conditions and so on. So they used it for a number of things.
Could you just explain what a green theory is and why they play such an important role for medicinal or therapeutic cannabis users?
Well, green fairies, and I should also say that some people really hate that term, but for ease of explaining, I'm just going to refer to people as green fairies. Some people don't like to be referred to like that. So apologies to them if they are listening to this program. So they're people who grow cannabis, and they grow it illegally. So they exist in the illegal cannabis market. But they grow it and often produce cannabis products for the treatment of pain and other conditions. And they often have a huge knowledge about growing cannabis, particular strains, what works for what kinds of conditions. You know, and often they've been growing cannabis and producing cannabis products for a number of years and have a high level of expertise. Also, often green fairies have, not all of them, I should say this as well, so this is not all green fairies, but a number of green fairies have supportive and caring relationships with the people that they supply products to, and talk through and change products. If one isn't right, well, let's try this. You know, you might need a higher level of THC and a lower level of CBD or whatever. So they often have a great deal of knowledge and experience in growing cannabis, producing cannabis products for therapeutic use.
What are the current rules and regulations around medicinal cannabis in New Zealand?
Well, it's very strictly controlled, if you like. So, and I should say, you know, I think the government, they're kind of moving in the right direction. So we had the 2018 Medicinal Cannabis Bill, which meant that people who were suffering from terminal illness, if they were caught with illegal cannabis, they wouldn't be charged. So that was a positive step forward, although that bill was criticised for not allowing a wider sort of parameter of conditions. And then we had the Medicinal Cannabis Access Scheme, which sort of widened access and meant that people could, you know, GPs could prescribe for a range of things if they felt that was a good thing to be doing. So we are seeing this kind of widening out of medicinal cannabis or cannabis use for therapeutic purposes. But it's still, you know, there's a relatively limited range of products that are approved. You can only legally access those through your GP. So you have to pay for your GP visit, and then the prescriptions are often quite relatively expensive for people to afford. And, you know, often people who are experiencing chronic pain are on limited incomes. So, and you know, other conditions are on limited income, so it's difficult for them to be able to afford that. And the way that the cannabis, medicinal cannabis sort of licensing scheme has been set up is really around sort of large pharmaceutical companies. So for people like Green Fairies, it sort of excludes them entirely. And they're kind of sitting in this illegal area outside of the law. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, the kind of regulatory system, very simply put.
Do you think that New Zealand is behind the times when it comes to the acceptance of cannabis as a legitimate therapeutic?
Well, I guess, I mean, we are behind the times compared to some countries. I mean, some countries have nurse practitioners that can prescribe cannabis medicinally, and there's wide uptake and use of medicinal cannabis and so on. In the US, for example, medicinal cannabis has been available for decades. So I think we are a bit behind. And I think, you know, our approach to drugs, so prohibition, the misuse of drugs acts and so on, and the stigma that still exists around cannabis in New Zealand and in other countries has really held up progress. And people are very reluctant to think that cannabis can help with particular conditions. You know, and often, in fact, it's interesting, in response to the article in The Conversation, I've had some people saying to me, well, you know, there's no evidence that it helps with pain, so why are people in your study saying that it helps with pain? And I'm like, well, there is actually some evidence to show that it helps with some types of pain for some people. Of course, it's not going to help everybody, like all medications have, you know, like some people can take codeine, for example, other people, codeine makes them feel really ill, and so on. So all medications, you know, have their ups and downs with some patients. So medicinal cannabis, it's not a sort of panacea, it's not going to cure everything for everybody, but some people certainly say that it really helps with their pain, and I think that's something that we should listen to. We should listen to the people who are telling us that it's helpful for them, and we should, you know, do what we can to ease people's pain. I mean, you know, the people that I spoke to in the interviews for the project so far, you know, detail some terrible, you know, sort of conditions and illnesses and painful conditions and so on. So I think if we can help those people by allowing easier access to medicinal cannabis, then why are we not doing it? And we need to listen to them when they tell us that it helps with their pain. And there is some evidence to demonstrate from particular studies that, you know, it does help with pain. I mean, for example, one person said, if I just read out this quote, said that it gave them relief from the broken glass feeling in my joints. Now, I have never, thank God, had a feeling of broken glass in my joints, and I can't imagine how painful that is. So if medicinal cannabis gives that person relief from that terrible feeling, then let's give it to them free, you know, legally. Let's not make them pay hundreds of dollars for it. Let's not make them go to the underground market. Let's make sure they have access to something that can help with that terrible pain.
Where do you think we as a country stand now following the 2020 referendum? Has it stunted the conversation about liberalising cannabis laws?
Well, I think the fact that the referendum didn't pass was a terrible blow, I think, for people who use cannabis for therapeutic purposes, you know, as well as, you know, a number of other reasons that I won't go into. But for people who use cannabis for therapeutic purposes, a yes vote in the referendum could have meant that their access could have been easier. It could have removed the worry of having to go to the underground market. It could perhaps have given some legitimacy to Green Fairies. So I think that was a terrible blow to people who use cannabis for therapeutic purposes. And I think, you know, with the medicinal cannabis access scheme that was, you know, came into force in 2020, I think that the government is trying to move towards better access for people, but we're still not there. You know, a really small proportion of people from our study access through their GP, you know, 1.52% of people, compared to nearly 41% of people who access through a Green Fairy. So we still have a really long way to go to make that accessible for people and affordable. You know, here it's not funded by Pharmac either, so that contributes to it being expensive. Similarly to the US, medicinal cannabis isn't covered by medical insurance, so it's very expensive for patients. So I think the things that could be done which could make access much easier for people, and I think we really need to get moving on it, you know, because we're talking about people who have some, you know, who are in considerable pain and discomfort or suffering from, you know, neurological disorders. You mentioned children. I talked to a mother and daughter, actually, for one of my interviews, and the daughter has some kind of neurological disorder where her body shakes and cramps and she's unable to walk properly. And medicinal cannabis gives her relief from those kinds of symptoms. In fact, they sent me videos of her, and, you know, in sort of cramping and so on, and, you know, before and after taking medicinal cannabis. And it's incredible the difference, what happens, you know, and how it, you know, it helps.
That was Fiona Hutton, Associate Professor at the Institute of Criminology at Victoria University.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.